Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Huge! We have a huge announcement. This is Wretched Radio. Order them while they're hot. We have for your consideration available in the Wretched store the Whitney Houston Bible. That's right. Inside of a King James Version Bible, the death certificate of Whitney Houston, along with all of her chart-topping lyrics and all of the accolades and awards that she won, inserted right into your Bible. But wait, you say I'm not a Whitney Houston fan. Don't you worry. Get yourself an Elvis Presley Bible. That's right, the king of rock and roll. It actually includes a copy of the original contract that he signed with Sun Records. That's right. And the scribblings of "You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog."
Yes.
And a few pages of the book that was on his nightstand the night that he tragically died, which I think was some sort of mystical Eastern sort of affair, inserted right into your Bible. And you say, "Friel, what are you doing to the Bible?" And that is, I think, the question that we need to ask about, you heard that right, the God Bless the USA Bible.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know
Lee Greenwood, partnering with the former president of the United States to sell the God Bless the USA Bible, including the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights. It's the God Bless the USA Bible.
God bless the USA.
Now, you're going to maybe think that I'm a communist, that I don't love this country. I do. And I think these human documents were brilliant, but they don't belong in the Bible.
Mm-mm.
They don't belong in a part of the canon of Scripture. This is God's inspired word, the words of life. There's no book that is on the same plane. And as ridiculous as it sounds to have a Whitney Houston Bible or an Elvis Presley Bible, we should have the same attitude. Look, and it doesn't mean we disparage those documents. Can we hold two things potentially in tension? We love those documents. We're grateful for those documents. Believe me, we're grateful for those documents. But they're not Bible. And we would find it unthinkable if somebody said, let's insert the Shriners membership charter into the Bible. You'd go, well, that doesn't belong. How's about your local park and recs rules and regulations? You'd say, well, that doesn't have anything to do with the Bible. Exactly. These are legal governing documents. They are not the word of God. And of course, the world is mocking it. Who else but The View decides to bring this story to the fore so that they can, well, make fun mostly of Trump. Nevertheless, listen to the crowd's response as they play the announcement from Donald Trump selling. And by the way, the website says this is by no means a political sale or movement or in support of anything political. And yet the former president partnering with Lee Greenwood selling them. Listen to the audience response.
I'm proud to be partnering with my very good friend Lee Greenwood, who doesn't love his song God Bless the USA, in connection with promoting the God Bless the USA Bible. All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book. It's a lot of people's favorite book. I'm proud to endorse and encourage you to get this Bible. We must make America pray again.
Okay, I don't know what it... I
She didn't write anything. We can hold two things in tension. We love the country. We love the founding documents, but we love the Bible way more. Way more. Exponentially more. And maybe, maybe it's time for us to start saying, no, you can't do this to the Bible, which you can know is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. How? Well, you can study canonicity. That's right, canonicity. You say, are we going to talk about the New Testament now? No, we're going to talk about the Old Testament now, because the Old Testament was canonized too. How do you know that the books on the left side of your Bible should indeed be there? Well, the answer is, I think, just as solid as why we know the New Testament books that are included in the canon of Scripture are to be included. And by the way, that decision was not made in 325 at the Council of Nicaea. Instead, it was known in the first century. These are the books. And that's similar to the way the Old Testament was canonized. In the nation of Israel, they knew. These books were just accepted. There was no questioning. You didn't have any interlopers being injected from Babylon or from Egypt like you did with the New Testament. You had the New Testament canon, which everybody in the first century knew, but then you had people writing new books like the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Peter, saying, hey, these should be inspired too. And we had to come up with some rules to block those from being included. In the Old Testament, they didn't have that debate or that problem. Everybody knew. This is from Kevin Bowder, Canonicity, the Old Testament, and the Apocrypha. Why we don't have the Apocrypha inside of our Bibles. From Kevin Bowder, the church received the Old Testament directly from Israel. We don't know how they were recognized, but we think Ezra might have been involved. Ezra was described as the scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel, and a scribe of the law. So the writings of Moses were already recognized, because if they were already quoting the law, the books of Moses, the Pentateuch, it's because they had already accepted it. So by the time the New Testament hits Israel, they had fully accepted the 39 books that you and I have today. Now, they divided them a little differently. They ordered them differently. They combined first and second books, but they had the same ones that you and I have today, and the New Testament, including, dare I say, especially, Jesus quoted the Old Testament constantly. I think the only book that isn't quoted, I think, in the Old Testament might be Song of Solomon. Could be wrong on that, but I'm not, because I'm a talk show host. When you've got the New Testament constantly citing it, but never citing any sort of apocryphal books, that's a pretty good sign that they already agree, because the apocryphal books were intertestamental books for the most part, written in that 400 years of silence. Why didn't Jesus ever quote them? Why didn't the New Testament authors ever quote them? And you say, wait a second, Jude, he quoted Enoch. Well, he quoted a prophecy from Enoch, but that's not the only time in the New Testament that something extra-biblical was quoted as something that everybody understood to be true. It was not an authorizing of the book of Enoch. It was merely including a quote from that prophet that everybody accepted. You see, no New Testament books authorizing the Old Testament. Zero. None. And that is why we don't include the apocryphal books. Now, we've talked about this before, and inevitably some Roman Catholics will say, oh no, the apocryphal books should be in there. You guys have taken books out of the Bible. Oh no, the apocryphal books were added to the Bible. That is just historical fact. Jerome, he translated the original Bible. He took the Greek manuscripts and he translated them into Latin. It's called the Latin Vulgate. Late 4th century, so late 300s, he translated Greek into Latin, which continues to be used in some Roman Catholic churches to this day. He didn't want them in. He felt a lot of prep. People were saying, hey, you got to put them in. And he said, no, they don't belong in here. And so they were put in a category called ecclesiastical books, church books, maybe something that we can learn. So like the Didache, he said, okay, it's a church book. It's sort of like an early church catechism book, how they went about the business of doing worship. But he didn't want them included in the canonical section, so they weren't. How did they get in? The Council of Trent, 1546. That is when they were codified by the Roman Catholic Church because they needed some Bible. Luther and the rest of the reformers were insistent. You got to show me where this is in the Bible. Show me where purgatory is. You got to show me where praying to Mary is in the Bible. You got to show me where veneration of saints is in the Bible. And they couldn't do it. But they found some hints of that in the apocryphal books. And so they added them. And the reason that we don't include them today, even though the Eastern Orthodox Church added them in 1672 in their Council of Jerusalem, Protestantism never has. And therefore, you do not have full church agreement, which was one of the canonical reads early on. When the early church was deciding which books in the New Testament should be in, they had rules. And one of the rules was everybody has to agree to this. And if we don't agree, then they don't go in. Well, they didn't agree on the apocryphal books. And we still don't. The books that you have in your Bible today are the books that you are supposed to have, including the books on the left side, which you shouldn't unhitch, and dare I say, which you shouldn't separate to include wonderful documents like the Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, and the U.S. Constitution. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, around here, we're pretty passionate about producing captivating, cost-effective, and biblically grounded content. We're so grateful for your past support, and now we're seeking more people to become ongoing monthly gospel partners. You can join us in spreading the gospel, equipping believers, and strengthening the local church. To learn more, just visit wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 44321. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. Preborn.org/wretched.
Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. Seminary-trained students at the Master Seminary return to their native land where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. Wonderful ministry. And you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. Wretched.org/pastor.
Books of the Bible. The book of Joshua tells of the conquest and division of the Promised Land. There are two consistent themes in Joshua: God's faithfulness and his aversion to unfaithfulness. When you wonder how committed God is to his people or doubt the seriousness of idolatry, let Joshua remind you that your God is a jealous God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Prepare to play not one but two of America's fastest growing game sensation. Jimmy, you got a name? You be the judge. How many emails will I get? That's right. How many emails will I get for suggesting? Todd, you didn't suggest. You flat out said that any human document does not belong inside of the Bible. Jimmy, as always, you will be the federal head of the tens and tens of people listening to this here Wretched Radio program. Are you ready for your most earnest responsibility?
Absolutely.
How many emails am I going to get affirming my criticism of the God Bless the USA Bible?
Do you want a number?
Sure. You could just say a lot, a little, some, none.
Affirming your position.
That's right.
Yeah, probably. You're probably going to get some.
All right. What about,
I'm a
communist.
Yeah, you're going to get more of those.
You think so? What email are you going to send me anonymously?
Anonymously.
By the way, if you want to encourage your pastor, that's how you do it. Send him a critical letter anonymously. Oh!
He loves those.
Oh, he loves Did I tell you? Oh, I don't think that I did. I tell you about the recording that we did 2 days ago. Had three local Atlanta pastors in to try to give you a peek into the world of pastoral ministry. It was awesome. It was so good. And I asked the question, what is the most discouraging thing a sheep can do? And I thought it was going to be to wander off, to just leave. They were going for X number of years, and they just disappear without a word. That's not the consensus of these three guys anyway. And this is, if your pastor's heart is like this, I'm just telling you, you have a gem. They said the most painful thing is knowing that somebody is losing to sin. And they're not growing in godliness. It grieves them. That's a pastor's heart. That's a shepherd's heart. And it just kept coming out in this roundtable discussion that we had that they cared about you. And I observed, they didn't, but I observed, while it is wonderful that we've got national preachers that we can all listen to, that is good. But the best sermon you're ever going to hear is from the man who has you in mind, who loves you. Because just as a local pastor, say, here in Atlanta, isn't thinking about, say, John MacArthur's congregation, John MacArthur isn't thinking about yours. He's thinking about his. And that's why the best sermon that people at Grace Community Church can hear is from their pastor. Not because it's John MacArthur, but because it's their pastor. And the same thing is true with a local shepherd that shepherds you because he's writing it for you. He's thinking about you. He's praying for you. I brought up the subject of gossip and I asked, how painful is that? And the response surprised me. I thought they'd be like, yeah, it really hurts. You know, when they stab you in the back. Most of them said, look, as a pastor is not child's play, pastoral ministry. You got to develop a thick skin while retaining sensitivity because you're going to get it. But that wasn't why gossip bothered them. Jimmy, would you like to guess why gossip bothered these three pastors?
Why?
Because I was like, oh, it's relatively obvious. But because you're not a shepherd, you don't think of it. They said, when that happens, I just know that somebody is losing the battle of controlling their tongue. They're sinning, and it's an area that we need to go to work on. Mm. Whoa. That's your pastor worried about your sanctification. Okay, here's the other thing that came out of it. Are we ever going to get back to the Bible game show thing? We will. The other thing that came out of it from these three pastors was the necessity of the word being preached on Sunday morning. They all agreed there can be times when a pastor can go off of an expository script, meaning that they veer away from preaching their way through a book to talk about an issue. But they said the greater need that everybody has, because these days there's a lot of pressure on pastors to talk about all of the contemporary hot button Brave New World issues. For instance, the veracity of the accuracy of the last election. Did we have election integrity? You need to talk about it, Pastor. What about the vaccination? What about the Christian nation? You need to talk about how we need to get in. And these pastors were understanding of those issues because they're so big and they are so impactful on all of us. But they continued to go back to the same refrain. But the people, us, we need something bigger. We need more than that. Because politics, social issues, cultural issues, they're downstream. The headwaters are it's the Word of God, the preaching of the Bible. That's what we need. So perhaps you've been a little bit agitated with your pastor that he hasn't been preaching on the hot button issues. Here's one explanation. He just thinks that preaching the Bible to you is way more important. Now, you might disagree that, hey, this is rising to the level where the guy needs to talk about it. You might agree with that or disagree with his understanding of not wanting to preach politics. But at least now you understand maybe his heart. And that he is so persuaded that the opening up and the cutting of the Word of God is so crucial for life and godliness that he's just not willing to be distracted from that. But Jimmy, if you'd quit distracting me.
I'm sorry.
You think that I'm going to get mostly critical emails for the criticism of the God Bless the USA Bible?
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready for round two?
I'm ready to judge.
Is this blasphemous? That's right. When I went looking for the sound of Donald Trump talking about the announcement for the $60 God Bless the USA Bible, as happens with all of us, on the right-hand side, a number of videos popped up. This is called the Biden Bible Translation. The Biden Bible Translation. It's intended to be a spoof, and I'll grant you, it's funny, but I do believe that there are two questions that we need to ask, and Jimmy will attempt to answer so that he can get some emails too. Does this cross the line into blasphemy? And secondarily, hold on, Jimmy, this will probably get even more emails. Is this not being respectful of the President of the United States? Gotta ask, because we're commanded to honor those in authority.
For God so loved him. You know the thing that he gave his only, let he who hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600,000,000,660,000,000.
I think that's the deficit.
100,000,000 and six. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was... Turn a nation to depression.
Question number one, Jimmy.
Yes.
Does that cross the line into blasphemy?
I think so. I do think so, because you could look, I'm not going to say whether it's okay or not to make fun of the president, but you can make fun of him without using scripture.
Well, because it's the Word of God.
Right.
And that's why initially I was like, oh, this is amusing. Wait a second. God so loved the world. That is a precious promise. In the beginning was the Word. That is a staggering verse from John. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. It's the eternality of the Word, Jesus Christ. I personally, Jimmy, I'll just suggest that maybe possibly I would lean on your side on this deal too, because let's remember what we've got, and to use it for the sake of a joke. Question number two, Jimmy, you're not going to dance around this. Was this disrespectful of the president?
Absolutely, it was.
You think so?
I do, and I think, and I engage in it myself. I've made fun of him. I've said things that I shouldn't have said and not prayed for him the way I should have prayed for him, and I think that is sinful.
Mm-hmm. Now, how you pray for him, that's between you and the Lord, but that's just what we're commanded to do. So I think, too, Look, I know how frustrated we are. Believe me, I join you in that chorus. I can sing my part vocally because we're all so distraught over what is happening to something that promoted and provided for so much good. And it's just slip sliding away right underneath our feet. I get that. But at the same time, we're still commanded. This is why we're commanded to pray for those who are in authority. Because the righteous are the ones that we rejoice over. When somebody isn't righteous, we groan. So we should be praying for the president that God would convert him primarily, that he would override his current unchristian sensibilities and not go about the business of promoting slaughter and maiming. But pray for him we must. Without making fun, that ain't easy. This is Wretched Radio.